versus Travis L. Ferguson. Ms. Wooster, good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
I would like to thank the court for the opportunity to come in front of you today to further discuss the case of Travis V. Ferguson, or Travis L. Ferguson, and also hopefully to answer all of your questions so that you can have a more informed decision. I would ask to reserve the final 2 minutes of my argument for a rebuttal. My name is Candace Wooster. I've represented Mr. Ferguson throughout the entirety of this case, so I'm very familiar with the facts since I've had multiple times to be with Mr. Ferguson and discuss the case. Mr. Ferguson, when he filed for this appeal, he asserted multiple errors by the court, starting with the denial of the motion to suppress, going all the way to an excessive sentence. The first error that I would like to discuss is the child abuse. Mr. Ferguson asserted that there was insufficient evidence to support his conviction of child abuse pursuant to Nebraska Revised Statute 28-707. Pursuant to that statute, the state had to prove that Mr. Ferguson knowingly, intentionally, or negligently put the children at a risk of harm. The conduct which presents a likelihood of injury, he had to place them in a position to endanger the children. The state basically had two areas of evidence that they presented in order to try to prove their case that Mr. Ferguson violated 28-707. The first was that there was meth in the car. There was meth found in the car. So the state presented evidence that the children were in the vehicle, and that because the meth was in the vehicle, then that situation endangered the children. That just because the meth was in the car, that was the situation and putting the kids at a risk of harm. There was no evidence presented that the children had found it, that the children had reached for it, that the children were actually searching under the seat where the meth had been found. The only evidence presented was that the children, by the time the officers had arrived and the car was already stopped, that the children were unbuckled, that they were older, and so that they could freely move around, and that the children have small hands that can fit underneath the seat of a car.
Is the statute phrased in terms of risk of harm or actual harm?
The conduct directed at the children, but a conduct that presents the likelihood of injury, placing the children in a situation that could endanger the children. So it's not a risk of harm, but the likelihood of the children being placed in a situation.
Isn't likelihood risk? It's just perhaps a higher element of risk, but it's not that they had to suffer the harm. It's just likelihood.
A likelihood of harm, but I believe if you're taking it where just something is in the car, I mean, that could be a likelihood of anything in the car. I mean, with the old cars, you have a cigarette lighter where you could push. A child could grab the cigarette lighter and harm themselves. I think there has to be something more than just the fact that something is in the car and a child could possibly grab it. Then there's a likelihood that the child could be hurt. I think there has to be something more.
Are you arguing that methamphetamine is no different than a cigarette lighter?
No, I understand that methamphetamine is an illegal substance and there's a risk of harm with methamphetamine. But I believe that there had to be something more than just the presence of the drug, than just the presence of it in order to show the likelihood that there was going to be a danger to the children.
Is it where it's found? If it's found under the seat or found on top of the seat, does that have any difference?
I think it could. I mean, in this instant case, it was found in between the console and in between the seat, and it was wedged down in there. There was testimony by Officer Schwartz that he initially tried to reach under the seat to grab it, and he couldn't do it, so he had to get back out, reposition himself, and get back in and grab it. So there's not even evidence presented that the children had even known it was there. I guess if you had the drug on the seat and the children maybe saw a bag on the seat, oh, what's that, and they tried to find it, then maybe. But I think there's a difference when it's hidden, it's under a car, and just the fact that it's found in there later due to a dog sniff, and then also due to the searching of the officer, Officer Schwartz.
There was a second component to the child abuse argument for the state, wasn't there?
There was. They had asserted that due to the swerving of Mr. Ferguson, Bradley Kenzie, he was a witness and he was on 77, and he asserted that he saw a car swerving on the road. That car was later, Mr. Kenzie had determined that the car was Mr. Ferguson's car. And so the second basis for that was the swerving of the car with the kids in the car was the other reason for the likelihood of placing the kids in danger. Again, there was no evidence that Mr. Ferguson actually, that the appellant actually had went off the road, had hit anybody. There was no evidence.
Was there evidence that he forced another car off the road?
There was evidence presented by Mr. Kenzie that a red SUV in front had been pushed off the road, and that evidence was presented by Mr. Kenzie, the witness. Again, the further evidence was that person was never called to testify. We don't know the extent of them being pushed over on the road. We don't know. We have Bradley Kenzie testifying that he saw a red SUV go over on the road, and he pulled over to talk to the car. But again, the occupants of that vehicle were never called to testify, so we're not entirely sure the entire reason that they were pulled over, whether it was just for Mr. Ferguson, the appellant, possibly swerving into them. Mr. Ferguson, he did pull off on the road on his own accord. It wasn't because Officer Schwartz had pulled him over.
So is this even a stop?
No, it was not a traffic stop. Officer Schwartz had... Mr. Ferguson had first pulled off on the side of the road to go into the gas station, and then Officer Schwartz, believing that was the car that Mr. Kenzie had flagged down, followed Ferguson into the gas station. Another error that Mr. Ferguson asserted that I think it's important to bring before the court to further explain is there was evidence that the vehicle that Mr. Ferguson was driving, it was not his vehicle. It was owned by his girlfriend, Lindsay Cote. And she had previously, there was evidence that she had previously loaned out her vehicle to multiple other parties. That vehicle had also been used in other drug stops, not involving Mr. Ferguson and not always involving the owner of the vehicle.
What was the source of that evidence?
The source of that was from Officer Schwartz. When he was conducting his routine investigation after Mr. Ferguson was in the car, he was looking at the license plate and the owner of the vehicle. He found information that that vehicle had been used in other traffic stops as recently as the month before. This incident occurred in March, and in February that car had been pulled over with somebody else, not even the owner of the vehicle, in the car, and that was for drugs.
Would the relaying of that information at trial been hearsay?
Well, I don't believe so. I think it was Officer Schwartz. It was information that he had discovered during his routine course of the investigation. And so it was further reason that he was submitting as to in support of him bringing in the dark dog. But it was just routine information that he was bringing forth during his investigation, the same as looking up Travis Ferguson's name. Does he have a driver's license? I'd like to go ahead and take a seat to reserve my 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ralph, good morning to you.
Morning. May it please the court, my name is Austin Ralph. I represent the state of Nebraska. Ferguson signs a number of issues on appeal. I'll address the ones that she did today and then take this court's questions on the remaining ones. Time permitting, you know, I'll address them all, but in short, we see no error here, and we ask this court to affirm the judgment below. As for the sufficiency argument, as Your Honor pointed out, there are multiple components of the evidence of the charge below. One was the methamphetamine, the presence of it in the car being within the children's reach and the children basically being old enough to unbuckle themselves and actually being unbuckled. There's also evidence that, you know, touching, ingesting methamphetamine obviously is harmful. And so we think that put them in a situation where it endangered their physical health. The other component was the driving under suspension, apparently so tired he's falling asleep at the wheel, running cars off the road, swerving. And as I read the appellant's brief, they basically conceded that that was sufficient because they emphasized or took issue with that it was unclear what the jury's verdict rested on. And as I said in my brief, I think it just comes down to sufficiency. Is the evidence sufficient to support it, the conviction? and it is.
If the jury believes that there was swerving.
Right.
Knowing swerving, that would be a basis to support the child abuse.
Yes.
And even only half the jury believed swerving and the other half believed methamphetamine, it still would be good.
Right. Doesn't matter. We don't need to know the lineup of the jury or
do we ever know?
No, really, we don't. At least, yeah, no.
In the situation that methamphetamine was in the car while swerving was occurring, correct?
Right.
I think what we're all asking is if the presence of methamphetamine presents a likelihood of harm and swerving presents a likelihood of harm, and there's evidence of both, which could be believed, we wouldn't really need to know on which basis.
Correct.
Okay.
The second issue, the evidence regarding Lindsay Koch, the girlfriend, as well as apparently other associates having drug contacts with the officers or with law enforcement, presence of drug in the vehicle. The district court, I think, properly excluded that evidence, sustained the state's objection on hearsay grounds. The source of the evidence, based on the offer of proof, was that he had reviewed, databases, police reports, etc. I think those qualify as a statement under the definition in 27801. They were offered to prove the truth of the matter asserted, i.e. that, they had found drugs in the car with other people, and so that was hearsay. There was no exception offered, and that means that it's inadmissible. I think the opposing counsel is talking about it being, routine investigation or whatever, but that is only admissible if it's not offered for the truth of the matter. So if the officer is investigating things and says, this is why I took this action, well, it doesn't necessarily assume the truth of what he discovered. It's explaining why he took action. Here, however, they offered it to prove that someone else had had drugs in the car recently. I think it was also inadmissible on a couple other grounds, as I noted in my brief. So even if the court erred in sustaining the objection on hearsay grounds, I think it was properly excluded. Regarding the other assigned errors, basically the motion to suppress, they relied on Rodriguez, which I think is inapplicable here because the defendant was under arrest. So it's not a question of whether the seizure was proper. It's just, it was. He had probable cause to arrest, did arrest, and so there was no time limit on extending the stop. That's kind of a moot question. And then the excessive sentence.
And the outcome in Rodriguez was a remand to the appellate court to see if there was reasonable suspicion.
Right.
So that's way earlier in the timeline.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There's no question here the seizure was proper. That's what Rodriguez dealt with. And there's no question that it wasn't an unreasonable search because a dog sniff has been routinely and repeatedly held to be not a search under the Fourth Amendment.
Your position is that we don't get into the Rodriguez, was the stop prolonged if the the offender is under arrest?
Right. I cited a number of cases in my brief basically saying that Rodriguez is inapplicable in that scenario and that there is no time limit. There's no Rodriguez inquiry.
Was it prolonged?
No. No, it wasn't. District court order, I think, was pretty clear. And if you review the video, drug dog arrived at like 5:58, 5:59 p.m. Took like a minute to do the sniff. The owner of the vehicle arrived at 6:14 and the mother at 6:23. The mother lived in Beatrice, so she had a ways to go. I don't know exactly why the owner of the car didn't arrive until later, but the drug dog and the sniff had all occurred before anybody was able to pick up the car or the kids. So I agree with the district court's conclusion that everything that happened here was reasonable.
Would it have been appropriate to walk the dog around the car because of where it was located?
Yes.
A public area and a public parking lot?
It was a gas station parking lot. I assume that was private property open to public access. So there's no issue with the law enforcement officers running the dog around the car. Despite opposing counsel's belief or assertion otherwise, there's nothing wrong with running a drug dog in a public place around a vehicle. And I cited a number of cases for that as well in my brief. The other issues were the excessive sentence as well as the foundation for Lindsay Hoag's testimony regarding a phone call with the defendant. Unless this court has questions on those, I would submit it on the brief. I'm comfortable doing that. Thank you, and we ask that you affirm the judgment.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 1 minute and 53 seconds. Ms. Wooster.
Thank you. I think, again, going back to the Rodriguez issue, as I noted in my brief, it's a unique issue. I think the important thing to note is that at 5:28 p.m., everything stopped. Mr. Ferguson had been arrested. They knew it was due to the child support warrant. There was nothing further that needed to be done. He should have been taken to jail. Everything was done.
How would that change the situation if he was taken to jail to prevent them from doing the search anyway?
It was a child support warrant. It's unclear whether he just needed to post a certain amount in order to be bonded out. It's unclear the specifics, but I think Mr. Ferguson did have a right in order to go back to have that changed. Now, I understand.
You're not challenging the arrest, are you?
The lawfulness because he did have the child support warrant. So, I mean, he had a warrant, so he was going to be arrested.
Are you distinguishing the child support warrant arrest from our usual searches incident to arrest jurisprudence?
Well, and so I think that's what makes this a little unique. I don't think it was a search or incident to arrest. He had already been searched for the weapons. So for the officer's safety, he had already been searched for that, and then he was placed in the vehicle. With the search incident to arrest, again, his arrest was for a child support warrant. So I'm really unclear what information would have been found or searched for while looking into the car. I think what's important here is they detained
him. Is a drug dog search a capital S search for purposes of the Fourth Amendment?
No, so the drug dog is not considered the search. So the basis for my argument is it was unreasonable to continue to detain him. I understand that Mr. Ferguson at that time was already arrested, so he was detained. But the argument is that he should have been detained and taken on to jail.
And how would, just to flesh that out, how would that have prevented the drug dog from doing what it did and the search unfolding essentially the way it did anyway?
I just think that Mr. Ferguson at that time had a right to the privacy in the vehicle. The reason that the district court in the order denied the motion to suppress is they essentially said, well, the police were waiting there for the kids anyway. They were waiting there for the owner of the vehicle, so why not bring in the dog and allow that to happen? Why not leave Mr. Ferguson here? There were other officers who actually had the kids inside the gas station that were watching the kids. There was no reason to continue to detain Mr. Ferguson, to continue to wait to draw it out. And so I think at that time it should have stopped.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next case of the day.